All right. God is good. Somebody say all the time. You can get Pentecostal in here. God is good. All the time. That's not good enough. God is good. All the time. Woo! I'm sorry. I just got to get that out. There's we've had an amazing Pastor Bill, Prophet Bill, Apostle Bill, really is what it is, apostolic. You know, I'm not much on titles. People call me this, they call me that. Bob Jones used to say, you know, I'd come back from a crusade and we'd see, you know, thousands and thousands saved and healed and, you know, 80,000 here, 50,000 here. And he'd say, boy, you're an evangelist. I wouldn't even comment. And then he'd watch me get up, and I'd bring the word of the Lord. You know, I'd bring a word of the Lord with a confirmation, and you know, there'd be an earthquake or you know something crazy that confirms the, you know, I would call it out and it would happen, and or something would happen. All kinds of miracles would take place. They'd say, "You're a prophet." I'd say, "Thanks, yeah, you know, and you know, with respect." And then I'd come back from the nations going here and going there, and we're planting this and we're building that. And he said, boy, you're an apostle. Finally, I said, Bob, I'm a son. That's what I am, Bob. I'm a son. And really, we're sons. And I understand titles, and titles are important because titles are descriptive, you know. But we're more than that. We're family with God. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I want to get all weepy. We're family with God. This whole Christianity thing, I got news for you. We're more than Christians. Don't limit yourself to just being a Christian, because you're not just a Christian. Christian means little Christ. A little Christian. Christ means anointed one. So if indeed we are little Christians, we are little anointed ones. We're to look just like our older brother. Just like our older brother. And he's not ashamed to call us brother. You know, he's not ashamed to call us brother. As a matter of fact, after the resurrection, he appeared to Mary. And he said, Mary, don't touch me. Remember at the tomb? Peter and John, they left the tomb. They went back to their own homes, but Mary, she remained at the tomb in John chapter 20, verse 11, 12, and 13. She remained at the tomb weeping because that's the last place that she saw Jesus. And she was sobbing bitterly, and she, one more time, she directed her gaze into the tomb, and she saw two angels sitting there. Remember? The angel said, one was sitting at the foot, one was sitting at the head. And the angel said, why are you weeping, woman? Why are you weeping? He said, because they've taken my Lord. And I don't know where they've put him. And then she saw a man standing at the entrance of the tomb, supposing he was the gardener. And he turned to her and he said, woman, why are you weeping? She said, sir, if you have taken away my Lord, she didn't recognize him. Sir, if you've taken away my Lord, please tell me where he is, and we will go get him and bring him back here. And she said, Jesus said, Mary, Mary. And she turned to him and said, Rabboni, master, teacher. And he said, listen, don't touch me. Don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. I've not yet taken the blood. I've not yet ascended into the heavenly temple. I've not yet taken the blood of the new covenant to the mercy seat and applied it. You see, Jesus had to ascend. He had to walk into that heavenly temple, into that heavenly place. He had to walk past the brazen laver, walk past the altar of incense in heaven. He had to walk past, just like Moses had the copy on earth of what was actually in heaven. Jesus had to walk through that heavenly temple into that heavenly place. He had to walk past the brazen laver, past the altar of incense, past the bronze altar where the sacrifice was. He had to pass through the separating curtain and step and approach the mercy seat. And all the time, it was screaming, "You better have blood and you better be clean." Because even in the Old Testament, the priest entered in once a year, the high priest, and not ever without blood. And if you came in there, in that holy place, and you didn't have blood as a type and a shadow, they were struck dead. Jesus had to walk through that heavenly temple, and he pressed through the seraphim, the burning angel, remember, that was placed in the Garden of Eden, the burning angel that guarded the way to the tree of life. Well, there's a burning angel in heaven. Jesus passed through that place, and he applied his blood to the mercy seat, which flung open the heavens, hallelujah, which gave us the access that we enjoy today. Jesus said to Mary, "Don't touch me. Don't defile me, for I've not yet ascended with the blood." But he said, "Go tell my brothers. Go tell my family. Go tell my brothers. I'm ascending to my God and to your God. I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father." Isn't that amazing? We're family with God. We're not just Christians. You are cut out of the same piece of clothing as God. You are made from the same swatch of material as God. You have the same genetics as your older brother, the same DNA as your father. You are the same species as God. Are you hearing me? The same species, made in his image. We are made in the very image of God. We're family with him. We're not just Christians. And we get so caught up in, and I understand how that works. We get caught up in mundane. We get caught up in the lower realm when we're called to the higher realm. We're called to the high place. We're called to the great place. We're called to be joint heirs, joint seated. Ephesians. He raised us up. Caused us to sit down in the heavenly realm, giving us joint seating with him now, not then. Now we are seated with Christ. Now we rule from above and not from beneath. Jesus said, "He who seeks to hold on to his lower life will lose his high life. But if you seek the high life, you must let go of the low life." And that's something. If you seek, he who holds on to the lower realm will lose this realm. But if you lose this, if you're after this realm, you must lose this realm. In other words, if you just seek to live down here, you will never live up here. You'll never understand, even though you have access to it, and this is where you're rightfully seated as believers, you will never see the kingdom in operation. But if you seek this realm will dissipate. And we're called to impact this realm. This church, Bill, Pastor Bill, this church is destined by heaven, destined by God to impact Austin, Texas, and not just Austin, Texas, the state of Texas, and not just the state of Texas. I'm talking from the Mexican border all the way through Texas and up the I-35. It's destined because of who you are, because of revelation, knowledge, revelation, and because of impartation, what's been deposited here to touch nations. You've got people in nations now, and you've seen some amazing things, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Somebody thank God for that. Seen nothing yet. For out of this house will flow missionaries. Out of this house will flow evangelists. Out of this house will be. I see 13 churches, Bill. I'm seeing it right now. I see 13 churches that you will be a part of in the next 7 years. planting, releasing in nations. I'm talking like I'm seeing places crazy like Eastern Europe. I'm seeing like a Kazakhstan. I'm seeing like a Moldova and some of the names I can't even pronounce. Pakistan, places like that. What am I talking about? There's places Eastern Europe that you're going to be impacting. I see some, and it's not so much even around here, even though there will be other churches in different places, but I see a massive influence there, because it's the heart of the Father to bring you into a new place into His glory. Somebody say amen. It's the heart of the Father to bring you into a new place in the glory. And out of this house, outside of the 13 that I see, original 13, and how I see that is I see 13 stars. Wow, I see 13 stars, which are 13 churches. They're 13 churches. I see 13 stars, and they're representation of what comes out of this house. And I think that that's just the beginning of some new things, of a new order, and a new apostolic mandate that comes out of the heart of the Father, because you really have a Father. Somebody say amen. You really have a Father. The title that I love the most about the Father is, He is the Father of Glory. And I believe that what's been deposited this house over the past 30 years, you're celebrating a 30-year anniversary, right? A 30-year anniversary, there's going to be an explosion. And even more than that, it's a 41 year, isn't that right, Bill? 41 years since the outpouring? I'm going to give you two scriptures, and I'm not going to belabor. I don't know how much time we have, but we're not going to be long this morning, because I understand Father's Day. But I want you to turn with me this morning. Bill, I'm seeing it still. I'm in a vision right now. I'm seeing 13 stars. I'm seeing it right now. And there's 13 churches. And it's Matthew 13. God is giving you Matthew 13. All of Matthew 13. It's taking the old and the new together. It's the where you've come from. I don't know where the scripture is exactly, but it's Matthew 13. And I'm seeing the 13, the Lord's speaking to me. Matthew 13, 13 churches. Matthew 13, it's a good a good son, a steward of the kingdom, takes both those that are old and new together. You don't discard the old. We need the old. You take the old and you take the new, and it comes together. I'd have to find that scripture, Matthew 13. I'm just going to go there quickly. I need to do this. Bear with me. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Hallelujah. Here it is, verse 11. No, I'm sorry, that's not it. Matthew 13. Okay, here it is, verse 52. Jesus said to them, therefore, every teacher and interpreter of the sacred writings who has been instructed and trained for the kingdom of heaven has become a disciple is like a householder who brings forth out of the storehouse treasure that is old and new, treasure that is old, the fresh, as well as the familiar. So it's not discarding where we've come from. Everything that's been built for the past 41 years, for the past 30 years in this place, you've got a heritage, an inheritance. Somebody say amen. Amen. We've come through the Jesus movement. Hallelujah. How many have been involved with the Jesus movement back in the day? How many saw the Jesus movement? I was on the tail end of that whole thing. I mean, I'm 51. I was a kid, but I got smacked by a lot of radical people who came out of the Jesus movement. There were some good things that came out of that, but there are also some things that were not so good. It's with that, with every movement. You don't discard everything. No, you take the treasures. You take your inheritance. You build upon it. Because it's the platform or the foundation for the next season in God. You know, I came out of the charismatic renewal. I came out of the Catholic, charismatic renewal. I was raised a spirit-filled Catholic. How about that? I got saved in the Catholic Church. When many were condemning the Catholic Church, I got saved in it by tongue-talking, prophesying Catholics. Hallelujah. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. Got smacked in the Catholic Church. And then got whacked by Wimber and everybody else and Lonnie Frisbee. And, you know, Lonnie Frisbee was the catalyst and the power behind Calvary Chapel. You know? Chuck Smith was on his way out until he met Lonnie Frisbee. Lonnie laid hands on him and the Jesus movement exploded. You know? And the Vineyard movement. I don't have time to share that with you. I was there in the beginning as an 18-year-old kid. Saw some of that stuff with John and Lonnie. But anyways, so you take the good, you take the old, and you mix it with the new. You know? So many people want to throw it out. Oh, you're the old thing. Let's just get rid of the old thing. No. Let's use some wisdom. You take the good from the old, you mix it with the new. But isn't it the old wineskin and the new wineskin? Well, we're not talking about that. There are aspects there. And we're talking about old covenant and new covenant. Here we're talking relationship. We're talking about as we built in the New Testament, we have an inheritance. So that's what I see happening. 13 churches in this new season. 13 places. And then like in the next 5 to 7 years are going to explode out of this place. Because you are getting ready for revival. God is preparing this house for a new wave of His glory. Things you've never seen before. Amazing things. Turn with me really quickly to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. I'm just going to give this to you. Isaiah chapter 41 says this. And this is for the 41 years since the outpouring. Bill, and so this is from the 41 years. And I woke up with this morning in me. I was praying it through. Isaiah chapter 41 for the 41 years. And here's what the word of the Lord is. First of all, it's all about the Cyrus anointing. It's all about the anointing of Cyrus. And I don't have time to get into it, but I want you. But God is giving you Isaiah chapter 41. It's all about Cyrus. There's a Cyrus anointing, which is a kingly, priestly anointing. Cyrus was the king of Babylonia. He was the Babylonian king. But the Lord loved Cyrus because he actually helped the people of Israel, protected them, and the Lord raised him up to be Israel's protector. And he refinanced with all the gold and with all the silver when they were led out of exile to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. He paid for it, plus all the 70 years back wages. You need to go back and look at it. But there's a Cyrus anointing, a kingly, priestly anointing that's beginning to flow in this house in a brand new level. In a brand new level. But this is what the Lord says to you. He says 5 times or 5 different places in Isaiah 41, he promises, I'm going to help you. Look at verse 8. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, you are my friend, Bill. My friend. You whom I love, verse 9. And have taken from the ends of the earth, I have called from the corners of it. You are my servant, and I have chosen you, says the Lord. So fear not, the Lord says, don't be afraid, for I am with you, verse 10. Do not look around you in terror or be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. Somebody say strengthen. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. I am with you. You are my friend. I will help you, says the Lord. And I will hold you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. Look at verse 11. Behold, all those who enraged and inflamed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. In other words, those that look at you like you're the odd egg. Man, that cathedral of praise. I don't know, man. You talk of the town. They're going to come back to you. Like Isaiah 61 says, they will bow themselves before you. And they will say, we were wrong. You really are the friend of God. This really is a house. This is God's house. We were the ones that were wrong. In the day of your power, when you pour out your power, people will come from everywhere. The day that the glory of God invades in a new level, they will come from everywhere. When the miracles are flowing freely, they'll come from everywhere. When they're laying out in the grass, hallelujah. When the grounds is filled with people and the miracles are manifesting all over the place, you'll become the talk of the town. again. There's a new level of that coming. The Lord says, all those that are inflamed against you, they will be ashamed, and they will turn to be as nothing at all. Verse 12. Look at verse 13. For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob. In other words, a little strength. I will help you. And this is God's intention. This is what's coming to the region. Look at verse 15. Behold, I will make you to be a new, sharp, threshing instrument, harvesting machine, which has teeth. And you shall thresh the mountains and beat them small. And you shall make the hills like chaff. In other words, I'm going to make you a new, sharp, harvesting machine that has fresh, unbreakable teeth for bringing in the harvest. Hallelujah. When the power of God comes, the very first thing that's going to happen, they're going to say, I'm going to get saved. It's going to be a revival, a salvation revival. Miracles abounding in the house of God. The revival flowing in and through you and out into the streets. You're going to be the talk of the town, but not just the talk of the town. You're going to be the talk of the state. You're going to be a talk of the region. People are going to be coming like they did with Lakeland and Toronto and Azusa Street. God is marking this house for something amazing. It's a new level in the glory of God. Don't say, how is this going to happen? Don't try to figure it out. Just say, yes, Lord. Keep doing what we're doing. Keep pressing for the miraculous. Keep setting yourself up for a God whacking. Keep going deeper and deeper in the glory of God. Because the heavens are heavy with rain. The Lord says, I'm going to make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument that has teeth for bringing in the harvest. And you will beat down, you will thresh down the mountains of human obstacle. They're going to come down. All the human opinions are going to come down. The Lord says, and I'm going to raise up the valleys, and I'm going to bring water and equality, food and supply to the poor and to the needy, spiritually hungry. Look at verse 18. I got to get going. Woo! The Lord says, I will open the rivers on the bare heights and the fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water. And the dry land, springs of water. God's going to open the rivers of heaven. He's going to open the fountains of the deep. And he's going to bring, it's not just going to be a mirage. It's not just going to be empty words. It's not just going to look like, the Lord says, no. I'm going to pour out water. I'm going to pour out food. I'm going to pour out supply in this revival. They're going to come, they're going to get healed. They're going to get marked. They're going to get touched. And people will come from all over to drink. It's going to be an Isaiah 55, oh, if you're thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come. Buy and eat simply for the price of self-surrender. Just come. And the miracles will flow. The miraculous will take place. A new level in the glory of God. Signs and wonders and miracles for the hungry. Now, I've got one more scripture. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Are we good on time? We all right? Okay. I'm going to wrap this up in the next few minutes. Matthew chapter 3. Look at this. And I'm going to start at verse 11. Last week we had Pentecost. And I believe that it's significant. One of the things that came out on the Friday night that I was here was that this is Father's Day weekend. And that Brownsville, the revival that took place in Brown, somebody say revival. Say, Lord, we say yes to revival. Say, Lord, we say yes to revival. We say yes to the outpouring. We say yes, Lord. He's listening right now. So just say yes, Lord. We say yes to the outpouring. Oh, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But one of the things that took place was, one of the things that came out Friday was that Brownsville, 19 years ago, it happened on Father's Day. I'm not saying it's going to happen today, because I really believe we're in it. I believe that it's already brewing and it's already happening. I believe we already crossed the threshold. But on Father's Day, 19 years ago, the Lord visited Brownsville, Pensacola, Florida, that Assemblies Church, and just rocked it. That was a good outpouring. I believe what God is getting ready to pour out in America and in other places that have been prepared for it is going to, all of that's going to pale in comparison. I believe that Lakeland was a move of God. Brownsville was a move of God. Toronto was a move of God. But I really believe what's coming in America, it's not just going to be a Brownsville. It's not just going to be a Toronto. It's not just going to be a Lakeland, but there are going to be cities ablaze. It's going to be cities on the I-35. It's going to be cities in America. It's going to be a sovereign corporate outpouring of the glory of God. And you can go to live stream and watch what's happening in this revival. And you can go to live stream and watching in L.A. and what's happening in Austin, Texas. What's happening in Florida. What's happening in this city and that city and Minneapolis and Chicago and Nashville, Tennessee and Dallas. You know what? You're going to be able to turn on and watch any one of any kind of revival. And it's going to be literally, it'll be just absolutely blissful. People will be coming, nations, like Isaiah 60 says, coming. And they'll bring the sick, and the miracles will abound everywhere. It's not just going to be one place, but it'll be streams and pools in the wilderness. Where there was no water, the fountains of the deep erupt. We're going to see a corporate outpouring. This nation, God is going to light it on fire. There's no man that can take credit for what God is about to do. It's not going to be because of this great evangelist or this anointed. No, no, no. Even though we're going to need them, no man can take credit for all of the different things that are exploding in the different cities, not just in America, but around the world. And the result will be harvest. The result will be the nation turning to Jesus Christ. The result will be the Muslims, the Hindus, the other mountains that are in the earth. They're going to recognize God. Like Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 says, it says, in the latter days, there's the double 2-2. In the latter days, it says that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the highest of all the mountains in the earth. Because the kingdom grows. It's like a mountain that grows. That the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of the mountains. Higher than all the other hills of religion. Higher than all the other mountains of religion. And they'll see the mountain growing in the earth. And they'll say, come, look, let's go up to the mountain of the house of the God of Jacob. That he may teach us his ways. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Revival breaking out in the nations. Revival breaking out in this nation captures the attention of on-demand viewing. Captures the attention. Listen, when there's so many resurrections and so many miracles happening in different places, you can't deny it. You know, CNN, they can try to censor it, but they're not going to be able to. Because of internet, because of live stream, because of the testimonies, the internet will be buzzing with resurrections from the dead, miracles happening, the lame walking. They'll be interviewing everywhere, and the world will become conscious of the mountain, of the house, of the God of Jacob. And they'll say, look at that. There it is. We were looking for God all along. We thought it was Muhammad. We thought it was Buddha. We thought it was... It really was Jesus Christ. He really is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. Let's go up to the mountain of the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways. There he is. And God will heal. He'll restore. He'll deliver. That's what we're going to see. World evangelism on an unprecedented level with amazing miracles. And we all have the invitation. You have an invitation here. God wants to use this house as a forerunning house to demonstrate his power and his glory. John was baptizing with water. I don't even want to get into that. John baptized with water, but he said, there's one coming after me that will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with power. The Holy Spirit and with fire. It's always been about the fire. It's always been about the fire of God. It's always been about the fire of heaven. When God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, they came out with fire. They followed a pillar, a whirlwind of fire. Isn't that crazy? When they got to the mountain 40 days later, at the day of Pentecost, you know what Pentecost is? It's when God gave Moses the law on the mountain in the midst of the fire. All of Israel was watching down below as Moses went up to receive the law. And he went up into the mountain. Exodus chapter 24 says, and as the Israelites were watching down below, it says that the glory of the Lord appeared to them like fire dancing on the top of the mountain. And Moses went up into the fire. And he was up there receiving the law. He came down. Pentecost was when they received the law. They received the ordinances from heaven. And then, on the day of Pentecost, after the resurrection, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, it says that they were waiting on the 50th day when a sound came from heaven. It's always about a sound. Oh, God's pouring out a sound from heaven. It was a sound of fire. And it appeared on top of their heads because it's always been about the fire. Moses received the mandate from a bush that didn't burn. Our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews chapter 12 says. He is fire. He's a consuming fire. On the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, cloven tongues of fire. And they went out into the marketplace, not speaking in tongues. Shadabada, shadadabadamba. No, no, no. They were speaking in languages. They preached the gospel under the power of that fire with languages. They had something to give. They demonstrated by the Holy Spirit. Listen, I don't care where you're at. It doesn't matter where you are at in God. When the fire of God touches you, you're going to change. It's not up to you. You just become available. Say, here I am, Lord. He will download languages. He will download power. It's not about you understanding it. Just get into the flame. Just get into the fire and you will automatically be supernatural. It's in your nature to be that way. God's nature is for you to be filled with fire so that you'll automatically emanate and just burn, blazing, burning ones, the fire of God. You will change. Jesus said, oh, you will receive power when He, the Holy Spirit, comes upon you. You know what Pentecost was? Pentecost was the birth of the church. The church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is when Moses received the law, Old Testament. The church was birthed, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. It was the birthing of the new. And here we are 2,000 years later, plus, on the mountain, the house of the God of Jacob is growing in the earth. And we've gone through shift and change from one level to the next level. And here we are. Nearly 5 million Christians, nearly 5 million people being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit a million people every 5 days. A million, according to Rutt statistics. Forget about a Muslim agenda. Forget about a Hindu agenda. They're going to come to the mountain, the God of the house of Jacob. Because the mountain of the church of Jesus Christ is growing in the earth. And not only is it growing, we're getting ready for an explosion. God is shaking the nations. God is preparing this house and many houses globally for an outpouring that is unprecedented, that no man can take credit for. It'll be a glory revival. And 30 years ago, Bill, you're celebrating the 30 this year. This is what the Lord gave me. He gave me the 41 and He gave me the 30. And I'm going to close with this. Jesus, help me. John baptized Jesus. Verse 15. But Jesus replied to him, permit it now, John. John didn't want Jesus to baptize him. He said, listen, Jesus, you want me to baptize you? He said, I need your baptism. You baptize with fire. I just baptize with water. I need your baptism. Jesus said, John, just permit it to fulfill scripture. Verse 15. And it says that, and when Jesus was baptized, verse 16, he went up at once out of the water, and behold, the heavens were open, And John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing upon him. And behold, a voice from the Father in heaven which said, "This is my Son. Listen to him." On that day, Jesus was baptized. He was 30 years old. Somebody say 30. He was 30. Bill, you're coming into a new baptism. I'm going to ask both you and Sue to stand right here for just a moment. I need a couple of men. Bill, if you'll stand behind Bill. And I need a couple of ladies, a couple of guys, just come to stand right here. Because I'm going to prophesy. Just stand, if you would, like right over there. And if you could face me, just look at, there we go. I want you to extend your hands. Because this has everything to do with you, okay? This has everything to do with this house. Everything to do with this house. Everything to do with this house. And Lord, I want to thank you right now. Can you just extend your hands, please? Extend your hands. That means to bless. You get to be a part of blessing. With, you know, if you could see what happens when you extend your hands to bless, you would see the Holy Spirit coming out of your hand. Because you're imparting a blessing. You're a part of the process. This means to bless. So Lord, we want to thank you for 30 years. Wow. We want to thank you for the 30 years of growing and maturing and levels and places. I want to thank you for the 30 years, but there's a brand new season coming. There's a brand new baptism, Bill. It's a baptism of fire that's coming. It's a baptism of the power of God, the fire of God that's coming into this place. It's a baptism of the flame of heaven that's coming with flaming angels, flaming power, flaming glory. The glory appeared like a fire. It's the fire of God that's going to hit this house, the dancing Shekinah power, the flame of heaven that will touch this house. And out from this house will flow revival in this season. And the Father is saying, look at my Son. Now this house is a son. This is my fully mature huios, which means my fully mature son. Fully mature, filled with the Holy Spirit, receiving a baptism of fire. This is my house. This is my son. This is my place. This, I see the mark of heaven on this place. Listen to him. And a brand new authority coming now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I want to thank you that there is a baptism of fire. And I want to thank you for this new authority and this new unction, this new place of government, this new power, and this new authority on Bill. Hallelujah. And on Sue. In Jesus' name. Just bless now in Jesus' name. Ratatata. Ratatata. Come on, I want you to thank the Lord for that. There's a new something new unlocking. After 30 years. There's a new season of power, a new season of the miraculous, a new season of souls coming in. Immediately after the outpouring in Acts 2, they went into the marketplace. 3,000 people got saved. Souls came into the kingdom. It was the beginning of a revival. A few days later, 4,000 souls came into the kingdom. 4,000. So, Lord, we want to thank you for souls. I want you to pray with me now. Is the rest of the band here? Lord, I want to thank you for souls. I want to thank you that in this new season, say new season. In this new season, it's a season of souls. It's a season of fresh power. It's a season of fire coming from heaven that results in signs, wonders, and miracles in this new level, in this new place that this house has never seen. God, I want to thank you for the miraculous. I want you to stand with me real quickly. And then we're closing here. Lord, I want to thank you for the miraculous. I'm going to thank you for fresh fire, fresh power, fresh release. Come on, I want you to thank the Lord with me right now. Just begin to open your mouth and say, yes, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. We receive fresh fire, fresh mandate, fresh power. Lord, we say yes. Lord, we proclaim that revival will take place so powerfully in the city of Austin that it will shock the rest of Texas, the seat of government. It will shock the rest of Texas. And they'll say, let's go up to that house. And the miracles, as soon as they touch the physical property, miracles. Even now, Lord, I see the angels on the four corners of the property. Hallelujah. You're sitting actually on top of a hill, aren't you, Bill? This is sitting on top of a knob. Hallelujah. Sitting on top of a hill. Lord, I want to thank you for the angels that are strategically placed at the four corners of this property now in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for a glory portal, a glory spout to just rest. A new covering, a new canopy, a new power, a new initiative for heaven to begin to flow in glory revival. And Father, I pray that we dedicate this land again. I'm just going to dedicate the land one more time. We rededicate this land to you. We say that this hill, this place, this land is a land marked for the glory of God. And that as people will even touch, they come to touch revival. They get to touch. They step on the property. They step on the property needing a miracle. They don't even need to make it in the front door. The miracle will manifest as soon as they step up on this property. We dedicate this land to you as a healing land. Lord, let the fountains of the deep begin to break open in this place. And Lord, pour out your glory in such a way that it touches all of the region, God. It touches all of the region, Lord. That people would come. They would say, like Isaiah 2, come on, let's get up. We got to go to that place. It's the place where God is. And glory would begin to flow. And the manifestations and the power and the evidence of your presence, Lord, would fill this house. Let's sing that song. And I'm going to turn this over to you, Bill. I'm looking forward. I really feel, man, I just feel the unction. I just feel the heart of the Father. I really feel that it was the Father that validated Jesus. When he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was baptized with the fire of God. He said, this is what a real man looks like. You want to see what a real man looks like? He's filled with the power. He's filled. Here's my son, fully mature son, filled with the Holy Spirit. Put your hand on your belly and say, Lord, baptize me with fire. Fill this house with your glory. Oh, fill this house with glory. Now touch the person next to you. Come on. Just touch them next and say, Lord, fill them, fill this house, fill this temple with your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.